Hey, well, just to start off with two updates. First update, excited to announce, you probably saw it yesterday, that we did finally finish hiring the staff. I'm very excited about the staff we've assembled. Great men of integrity, great teachers, guys who love ball and love being around it, so we're ready to get to work. And then the second update, of course, is on our quarterback, Andrew. He's continued to check every box. We're excited about that, making the progress as expected. And as he announced and saw, you saw he said the other day, he will be with us, with our team, starting April 2nd when we start our off-season program.
Frank Clifford still in Los Angeles?
Still out west, still going through all his strength training, all the normal stuff, right? At this time of year, we're not allowed to be together anyway. So pretty par for the course as far as players are all out working out where they feel it's best for them to get stronger and better. No, he's not throwing a football yet. He's continued to make the progress that was expected with the weighted balls and working on the motion, and everything's going according to plan.
Frank, putting this coaching staff together, were you behind the eight ball at all, given the time situation?
Actually, I think it played out. I think it played out the other way, only because we weren't competing against any other teams. We could take our time, and that really, I think, played out to our advantage that we could get the guys in. It was a long process. I mean, you know, basically 10 days straight of just interviews all day, bringing guys in, making a lot of phone calls, vetting, just to make sure we got the right guys. And I could not be happier with the staff that we've assembled.
Right. You worked with Nick Sirianni in San Diego at the time. What did you like about him at that point? He's a guy that's been really well regarded within the Chargers organization.
Yeah, I mean, Nick, we worked for three years together in San Diego. It didn't take me long during that tenure there that I thought if I ever had this opportunity, he would be the guy I would want to be my coordinator. You know, he's extremely intelligent. He's very energetic, very passionate about ball. He's a great teacher, very systematic in his thinking, and just the way we see the passing game and the way we think about offensive football, very similar. And very excited about having that we could get Nick out and be here with us. Yeah, we've had a chance, and certainly I've had a chance to watch some film. The position coaches, some been here a little bit longer. Our Tom Rathman just got here yesterday, so it's been a process of the position coaches each evaluating their position. I'm obviously watching a little bit of everything. That process is still ongoing, and then as we make the transition to get ready for the draft.
We just talked about April 2nd off-season program. Does that mean you'll have a mini camp in April or May, or what is your off-season schedule?
Yeah, the first volunteer camp will be 3 weeks after we start. We'll have 3 weeks and then a volunteer mini camp.
What's the value, whether Andrew's throwing or not in the first of April, what's the value of having him here?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, obviously from a learning of a new system, but more than that, it's not just learning a new system. He's a smart guy. He could probably learn whatever he needed to in a week. But it's really about culture. It's about teamwork. It's about he's more than just our quarterback. He's a big-time leader of our team, and so to be a part of that and to be part of the culture that we've talked about as Chris and I have sat down and said, hey, what are we building here? What are we building? And obviously Andrew is a critical piece to that, and his leadership at every level is important.
Frank, what does Andrew's health have to do with what y'all do going into the draft?
You know, I think that there's always an evaluation day by day looking at it, and we feel very positive about his health, so you know, I think that we'll just evaluate that as the draft comes to, as we get to the draft.
Does it sound like right now you really don't know? What you're saying is today you don't know?
I think going into the draft, all options are always on the table. They're always being talked about, not just at every position. I mean, you never rule anything out. So that's just good football, you know, to keep all your options open all the time.
With the restrictions, have you had much, you know, I guess one-on-one contact with Andrew?
Just more on a personal level, you know, talked once or twice, talked a couple times, a few text messages. At this point, that's been it.
Frankly, Malik Hooker, we already talked about Andrew, but Malik had the torn ACL. Where's he at in the rehab stage?
Again, going according to plan, feel good about the progress, and all the reports are very positive.
Coach, his transition to a fourth 3 scheme. Is there a level of the defense that will change the most from a 3-4 to a 4-3?
Yeah, I think it's really the front seven. I mean, it's really, as you know, the scheme that we'll be employing, that Matt's bringing, and that we're talking about is really this Tampa 2 kind of four-down penetrating style defense. So it's really about speed. And, you know, we think we have some really good pieces already here. But, you know, we're looking for fast, athletic players, strike, hit, and that will be the nature of the defense. You know, I think when you play the Tampa 2 scheme, the combination, the breakdown of man and zone can vary depending on your corners. I've seen Tampa 2 teams, four down teams, play a lot of zone, and then if you got the right corners, you can mix in plenty of man.
Coach, do you see Jack Doyle as the kind of player who can contribute like a Zach Ertz?
Yeah, I think Jack is an excellent football player and will fit well into the system and what we do, like a Zach Ertz. I'll have to learn all the things that Jack can do as we evaluate him and move forward.
Coach, as far as the running backs, your wide receiver crew, you have some flux there with free agency, and then how does that group maybe mesh with what you want to do offensively from your scheme?
Yeah, just a little bit of evaluation at this point on those guys. Obviously excited about some of the pieces that are there, but have to look at it as a whole and what makes sense going forward. And so that's what we're in the process of doing.
Coach, as far as the running backs, have you got to look at Marlon Mack at all and how you see the state of that position?
Yeah, I like Marlon. I remember writing up Marlon when he came out. I had high marks on Marlon. I thought he was a good explosive runner, good short area quickness, seemed like an aggressive runner. So obviously the evaluation process ongoing as far as how he fits here.
Is he a guy you think is capable of carrying the load?
We'll have to evaluate that as we go.
Frank, on that position, have you gotten to the point, like with the Frank Gore, to where is he part of the future, or do you say, Frank, thanks for 3 years, we're going to move a different direction?
You know what? Chris had a long talk with Frank, out of respect for Frank. I mean, personally, even though I've never coached with Frank, you know, he's a legend in my mind. I mean, some of the other teams, being an offensive guy and being a quarterback and protection kind of person who – protection is always of the essence. Frank Gore set the standard on what backs do in protection. I remember hearing stories when I'd be coaching for other teams that Frank Gore could run the protection meetings. He could make the phone. He could make the protection calls for the quarterback. This guy, as far as I'm concerned, is a living legend. And I am aware that Chris and Frank did have a discussion once the season was over, and out of respect to Frank, so he could know exactly what was going on, Chris was right up front and said that probably moving on to, you know, make the roster a little bit younger at that position.
Coach Wright, you worked obviously with so many great quarterbacks. You played the position at a high level. When you put tape on of Andrew Luck, given that we're expecting to see him this season, where does he need to make strides, and what excites you about coaching him?
Well, I'll start with the latter to begin with. You know, I think what I like about him most is that he's a team-first player. That's just evident with the way he plays. I remember watching, you watch him throw an interception and he wants to take the guy's head off. Now, we'll have to talk about that a little bit and tell him to take it easy. But I just think it exemplifies the kind of leadership that I think that wins championships. When you have unselfish players, players that are team first guys, and they're your leaders, that bodes very well for the team and the organization. And I think that we all know that that's what we have in Andrew. As far as quarterback skills, you know, accuracy is at a premium. He's extremely accurate. He's mobile. He's incredibly intelligent. He can get you out of bad plays. He can get you into good plays. He can throw it in tight windows. He can extend plays with his feet. He can extend plays with small movement in the pocket. He can extend plays with his mind. So I like everything about the opportunity to coach him. As far as ways to get better, I mean, it's just – When you're already playing at a high level, you just look for little small incremental improvements in whatever area you can.
And you have confidence you're going to get to coach him fully this season?
Absolutely.
Frank, how important is it to find a bigger body wideout to complement T.Y.?
You know, when you're looking for that, the makeup, you just got to see how it all plays out. There are pieces that you look for. There's more than one way to skin a cat. So sometimes you can have an ex receiver, for example, who's your stud guy. You got to win one on one. He can be a big body guy like an Alshon Jeffries, or he can be a smaller, quicker guy like an Antonio Brown or somebody like that. So there's a lot of factors that go into that decision. There's more than one way to win.
When you and Doug helped establish this thing in Philly, we're going to be aggressive, we're going to go for it, especially offensively. How does that translate to this job? How are you going to maybe try to implement some of those concepts and how you call plays and how you...
I'll tell you what, that was one of the great things of the last 2 years of experience that I had coaching under Doug Peterson. Another former quarterback. First of all, the relationship that he and I had just really connected in both personally and professionally, and just watching how he did that and how he was so incredibly aggressive on fourth down, and in every way in play calling. That was good for me to see. I've always considered myself a pretty good play caller and a pretty aggressive play caller. I got that from first when I was here with Tom Moore. You know, you ask Peyton about what's the best thing about Tom Moore as a play caller, he would say it's his aggressiveness play calling. So to see that again in Doug was a good reminder to me how we need to take it here to this team. It's been busy, but that is the coaching profession. You know, everyone knows we work long hours. It's pretty par for the course. It's a little bit heightened, obviously, with the Super Bowl and then the hiring the staff, you know, getting the job and hiring the staff. But it's not certainly what we're used to.
Frank, as you look at the film of this team, how concerned are you about this offensive line? Because that's part of the reason why he's been hit to give up a lot of sacks. I mean, what do you see when you see that group?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I see sacks, I mean, there's a lot of reasons for sacks. It's not just the offensive line. I can assure you this, when we talk about protection, protecting the quarterback, it's an offensive unit thing. And obviously there's a lot of that goes into the offensive line, but scheme goes into that. We'll call things that will get the ball out quick. Sure, we'll look to improve. We'll coach it. We'll continue to add players who can help us in every aspect of protection. But I can assure you that protecting the quarterback will be a top priority.
Given the struggles of the last season and the holes on this roster, how much of an emphasis do you all put on making sure you hit on this draft, get talent that can contribute?
Yeah, well, it's critical. And I mean, I think that's why one of the reasons, you know, to get here and to be able to kind of partner together with Chris Ballard, who has a stellar track record in this regard. His leadership for our organization cannot be underestimated. Just in the short time we've been together, to hear his vision on how he's evaluating and us talking about what our team is going to look like offensively and defensively and special teams. We had a meeting the other day, for instance, where we had the coordinators in there with Chris and all his staff and all the scouts, where we as the coaches had a chance to kind of express, here's the offense we're going to be. Here's, of course, they know the defense because Chris has drafted to this defense before in Chicago, obviously. So very similar in that regard. But we've had a chance through all three phases, talk to Chris and talk to our scouts about, here's the offense we're going to run. Here's the defense we're going to run. Here's the kind of players we're looking for. Here's what fits into this scheme. Here's how we can match things up. And so we've had a chance to begin to open that dialogue with Chris and feel very excited about that.
Is there a philosophy or approach that stands out when you think of, like, taking something from Meyer that you want to bring to your head coaching style?
Yeah, Marv Levy, of course, probably a huge impact on me. Just a team's morale is directly proportional to the degree that they're prepared. So if we want to bring the juice into our stadium and if we want to bring juice to this city and we want high morale, we want to be excited about going out there, it's really going to be all about our preparation. And that preparation involves every level, not just the practice. It involves meetings, walkthrough, weight room. It all matters. It all matters. I think it's proven over time that both of those things can work. It's impossible. You can't just pin it down in that corner. You have to evaluate the deal at the time. You have to evaluate the player at a time. I mean, so, and you have to evaluate your team's needs. And there's just so many factors that go into that decision. Without context, it's impossible to answer that question.
Title as director of sports performance, is that going to entail more than traditional strength and conditioning?
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, it's kind of oversee a lot of it. And, you know, Rusty, I think, you know, going back to my playing days in Buffalo, he was the strength coach. Rusty's been ahead of, I mean, Rusty was on things then that are just really popular now. And so in every way, I think he's been ahead of his time. But probably more than anything, I mean, yeah, Rusty's really smart. Yeah, he's on the cutting edge of all this stuff. But he's just a really good teacher. He's very passionate about it. He's got great people skills. And the players just know this is a guy they can trust. You talk to Rusty for 5 minutes, and you just know that his only agenda is to help you. And he's really passionate about what he knows and really, really smart.
Frank, with the running back position, you've so evolved over the years. Are you a by committee sort of guy? Do you think you can have a bell cow where you have 20-some times a game?
Yeah, no, I do think you can have a bell cow. I mean, obviously, in Philadelphia, we did it by committee. At some level, I think there's always a little bit of by committee, but in varying degrees. But I think with some of what we're going to do and our up-tempo, no-huddle stuff, not that it's going to be all that, but there will be strong elements of that. You do need players that can play all three downs.
Your evaluation of the...
You've got an assistant quarterback coach. Are you the quarterback coach?
Yeah, the first year, myself and Nick Sirianni will kind of lead the quarterback room, and then Marcus will help out. I'm very excited to have Marcus. Now, don't get me wrong, he's an assistant quarterback coach. This guy brings a lot to the table, and everyone's going to find that out in a hurry, trust me. But this first year, I just think installing the system, I just think it makes a lot of sense that Nick and I kind of lead that room and then go from there.
Your evaluation of the roster, whatever that's been so far, what's the biggest hole? What jumped out?
You know, it's hard to say. In evaluating the roster, because I'm not thinking of it, because we're thinking of what the vision of what we're going to be, and, you know, there's people who are free agents, so you're not sure who's all going to be there. So what are the holes and what aren't the holes? I'm just more focused on what we do have, and then, okay, here's our needs, and then slowly plugging those needs in to get the offense that we're looking for.
What strengths? Last question, guys.
What strengths?
Yeah, you said you were looking to see what you do have. Given what you have, what strengths do you see?
I mean, I think we have some good pieces on defense. I think we have a strong secondary. I think there's some really good pieces in the secondary, really at every level. I mean, at every position, there are strengths. Obviously, we have an elite quarterback that is a big strength. And then we've had proven playmakers. So we'll slowly build from – and when I say playmakers, I'm not just talking about skill players. That's one thing that we learned, that playmaking is at every level. I mean, offensive linemen make plays, you know. So – I think we have that. We just have to keep building that way.